Sleep is that golden chain that ties health and our bodies together. Thomas Dekker.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
You're listening to the Essential Oil Revolution. This is your place to go to learn about health, wellness, and of course, essential oils. Today's episode is all about sleep. I think that this is an issue that every single one of us in our modern society struggles with. I'm not sure I know many people who don't struggle with getting enough quality sleep. It affects our everyday lives, but it's so hard to make that time and to put that effort into getting the true quality sleep that you deserve. Katya Haino is on the show today, and she is going to share her very personal journey of learning about sleep, sleep habits, and how to really get the sleep that she needs. Katya suffers from Lyme's disease, and with that comes with a lot of struggles, especially revolving around sleep. So she knows a lot about the topic. She wrote the book, Sleep Essentials, How to Use Essential Oils for Better Sleep. She's going to tell us all about what's in the book, the different tips that she has for getting better sleep, which essential oils to use, and how to really get that quality sleep that you deserve. But first, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. This recipe comes from yours truly, myself, because we have been obsessed lately with our orange waffles. So I'm calling this recipe Awesome Orange Waffles. Simply add one drop of orange essential oil for every one waffle into your batter just before cooking. They are delicious, and my husband can't stop talking about them. We want to hear your recipes, so send us an email at revolutionoilspodcast@gmail.com with your own DIY recipe.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's happy, MAMMOTH.com, and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Well, here we go, revolutionaries. I'm here with Katya Haino, and we are talking about essential oils and sleep. Katya is a real food blogger, mama of two, health researcher, amateur photographer, and registered nurse. She is the chef and author of the food and wellness blog Savory Lotus. Her mission is to make healthy living accessible to everyone. Katya believes that real food is more than a way of eating, it's a lifestyle. So along with delicious gluten and grain-free foods, she blogs about essential oils and healthy living tips. Katya, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking time away from your family to be here with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, I was just on your blog, The Savory Lotus, and I think I got a little bit of drool on my keyboard because you have such beautiful recipes on there, and they're all paleo, or maybe almost all of them. And mm-hmm. I love you have recipes like the blueberry tea infused pot de crème parfaits and citrus and pomegranate salads. But then you also have articles like Six Things I've Learned from Having Lyme's Disease. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really interesting blog and website. And I just wanted to pick your brain and ask you, you know, what led you to start blogging, and where do you get your inspiration from, and what you write about?
You know, Savory Lotus started as just a little hobby for a burnt out mama. I was one of those people that was posting recipes on Facebook, and I've always been into healthy living and real food. And 3 years ago, exactly, I just decided to start a blog. You know, I didn't really know that much about doing it, and I started it. And luckily, I got into a network of green bloggers, and it kind of has mushroomed into a career. I have been infatuated and obsessed with healthy living since I was in my teens. And in that, I've been a registered nurse for about 12 years, and I've just kind of inundated myself with all the things that are healthy. I'm a yoga teacher. I've studied Ayurvedic medicine. So everything that I do and everything that I'm learning about, it just kind of expresses itself on Savory Lotus. I've also had, like I just wrote about my Lyme disease, I've had undiagnosed Lyme disease for quite a while, and I was diagnosed about a year ago. And so I think that, you know, I really believe that everything that's happened to me in my life kind of leads you to this moment. So I just think that, you know, I've collected all this information, these great recipes, and it's just about a healing journey for me. I love real food. I feel like real, deeply nourishing foods is the cornerstone of a healthy lifestyle. So I blog about that. And then I've also incorporated essential oils and other healthy living things into my life. And I talk about that as well.
Recently, you wrote the book Sleep Essentials: How to Use Essential Oils for Better Sleep. And I know this book came out of a very personal journey of yours. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing that story with us.
So Sleep Essentials is really a personal thing for me. I've done a couple recipe books that I sell on Amazon. I've done a lot of recipes. But one thing that has been a real big struggle for me over the years is sleep. You know, not only I've been a mama for almost 20 years, you know, so in just being a mother, you know, there's a lot of lack of sleep. I was also a registered nurse who worked night shift for several years. And I felt like after those things, I wasn't sleeping well. And then a couple years ago, my sleep really, really was a challenge for me. And I didn't know that I had Lyme disease at the time. And challenge sleep is something that people with Lyme disease often struggle with. And so, like I said before, I'm a really big real food advocate. I believe that it is more than just eating. It's a lifestyle. So when you clean up your diet, a lot of times the rest of your life follows. You know, you start looking at, you know, what am I using in my cleaning products? What am I using on my skin? So I was already using essential oils for my cleaning products. I was making them myself. I was using essential oils to make my beauty products, my skincare. But the real aha moment with essential oils came to me when I got introduced to high quality essential oils. A lot of my blogging community uses Young Living essential oils. And I started using them and realizing they actually have therapeutic properties that go beyond just house cleaning and skincare. I was using them for immune boosting. I was using them for to help with my digestion, which has also been a huge challenge for me with my Lyme disease. But the thing that really helped me the most was I was using them for sleep. I started using them daily and diffusing, and I realized that I really genuinely was sleeping better. And then I was using them on my little one, my daughter, who's 4 and a half now. She was not my good sleeper. My first one slept like a rock, and my second one didn't. And so I started diffusing with her. And after about 30 days of using them, there was a tremendous change in her sleep pattern. And this kind of is relevant to a lot of people. You know, I'm also a registered nurse, so I have a lot of intimate contact with my patients. And I really realized that a lot of people are suffering from lack of sleep. I think we have really hectic lifestyles. A lot of people eat nutrient poor diets, and our brains are just basically overstimulated, and we're not getting the deep nourishing rest that we really need. I mean, sleep deprivation is becoming a public health epidemic. I don't think a lot of people realize that insufficient sleep really contributes to depression, to weight gain, to brain fog, and even metabolic issues like diabetes. And then, you know, I've seen a huge increase in thyroid issues in the 12 years that I've been a nurse, and, you know, just basically low-grade inflammation and mood swings as well. So, you know, it was just out of just wanting to share what I'd learned. And so I just wrote the book, and I didn't realize how popular it would be. So it's been really fun.
That's great. So when you said that you see sleep deprivation as sort of an underlying cause of all of these different things like depression and thyroid disease and things like that, you know, do you think it's, I mean, how important is the sleep compared to diet? I mean, it's all important, but do you think that people sort of underplay the importance of deep sleep when we do talk about these big issues?
You know, absolutely. I have said this before on my blog, you absolutely cannot be healthy if you're not getting adequate sleep. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that you would die from sleep deprivation before you starve to death. I think it takes 2 weeks to die from starvation, and I think it takes 9 to 10 days without sleep.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, so I did a bunch of research, you know, for this book, and there's a lot of sleep facts that people don't understand. And, you know, not getting enough sleep, even just for a few days, can really inhibit our immune system and our cognitive and our motor functions. So I think people don't really value that. I mean, we live in a very rush society, you know, where we're constantly bombarded, and we live in a society that really values just work, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that people really, really do underestimate the need for sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. So how much sleep do we need? I mean, you hear all these conflicting opinions. Do we need 5 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, more, you know, and is everyone the same?
Right. You know, this is a question that I get a lot. And, you know, my answer is it varies person to person. We're all kind of made up differently. We're all different ages, and we're all at different places in our life. I think it's really important to remember that, you know, younger people need more sleep than, you know, adults and things like that. But basically the thing that I tell people is like, it just really depends on where you are constitutionally. Are you healthy? Are you doing well? Are you under a lot of stress? Are you in a healing crisis? Are you healing from chronic illness like I am? So I would need more sleep. And it's also really important to understand seasonally. You know, I always tell my children, it's really, you can learn a lot from looking out in nature about what we're needing. You know, in the summertime, it's bright, the sun's out a lot. I think it's okay to get a little bit less sleep in the summertime. because we have a lot more energy, we're feeling good. But in the wintertime, when it gets dark, we should be sleeping more. We should be resting more. We should be charging our batteries. So in the springtime, when the, you know, when the sun starts to come back out, it's time to be more active. We have that energy. You know, if I had to give some numbers, I would say just the average adult needs between 7 and 9 hours. I myself need more on the high end because I have a chronic illness and I'm healing. And I also am a busy person. So if you're busy, you probably need more rest. Teenagers and kids, small kids need lots of sleep. My kids, I am just all about my kids getting 12 hours of sleep. And people think I'm crazy. I put my 4.5-year-old to bed at 6:37 and she gets up around 6:37, 12 hours. And I think older adults, I've heard that they need less sleep. And I've noticed that that's the kind of the pattern, you know, that they, after 65, you need less sleep. I haven't gotten there yet myself. So that's hard for me to speak to, but that's what I've heard.
Mm, interesting. And how about circadian rhythms and things like that? I always hear that teenagers have a much more pushed back circadian rhythm, so they don't naturally go to bed till later at night. Is that true? Or is that just a cultural thing, you think?
You know, it's a hard one for me. You know, I have a teenager and it's a hard one to say. I do talk to people about circadian rhythms, about going to sleep and getting up at the same time every day, because then your circadian rhythm is natural. You know, so because when you wake up in the morning, your cortisol is supposed to pick up so you feel awake. And then when you go to sleep at night in the evening, your cortisol is supposed to go down so you feel drowsy. And I think that bad habits that we pick up throughout our life can change that circadian rhythm. You know, I'm undecided about the teenage thing. I really saw my teenager, you know, staying up really late, sleeping in, you know, but I also saw her being really groggy in the morning when she woke up because, you know, her cortisol was messed up. So that's a hard question for me to answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting to hear that that circadian rhythm shift kind of happens. Like lately I've been waking up around 5 or 5:30 to do my quote unquote miracle mornings, which is something new I've started doing. And they're fantastic. It gives me, you know, about an hour and a half before my kids are up for, you know, meditation and yoga and exercise and journaling and reading. So I love it, but it's nothing I've ever done before. And I am not a morning person at all. I'm like the antithesis of a morning person. And it's been really hard on my system. And I, you know, after I do my miracle morning around 9, 10, 11 o'clock, I'm so tired, but I feel like it's shifting and changing and getting a little bit easier. So do you think it's possible to make those big shifts and those big changes? And how much time does it take for our bodies to sort of adapt to that?
You know, I do. I can say that, you know, throughout my life, I've gone through a lot of different kind of, you know, before I had children, I was up really late. I would sleep in. I can just speak to myself and some of the people that I've worked with around sleep is that most people feel best when they go to sleep earlier, before 10:30, and when they wake up early, because that's the rhythm of nature. But I do know some people who they just swear by staying up late and getting up late. But you know, those people usually drink a lot of coffee. That's been my experience, you know, to wake up and things like that.
Yeah.
I think we individually adapt differently. You know, my body tends to adapt pretty quickly to time changes. And I know some people adapt more slowly. I think it's wonderful that you're doing that, you know, getting up early before the kids wake up and doing self-care. That's a really big part of a healthy lifestyle. So I really love that you do that.
Well, thanks. It's been a huge change for me, but it's been hard, you know, as a work at home mom, usually my biggest times to work on projects or, you know, editing podcast episodes is late at night when everyone's in bed. And, you know, I'll be up till 1 or 2 in the morning doing this, or at least I used to. And I'm really trying to make a conscious effort to, you know, cut that back and get to bed before 10. But, you know, it's hard. There's only so many hours in the day to work when you've got two littles running around. So it's hard, but I'm going to stick with it because it's great to have that self-care for sure. So let's get into some nitty-gritty stuff here. What are some of your best tips for getting better sleep, including essential oils?
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk a little bit about that. I have just, you know, I have about 8 tips that I give people when they start asking me. You know, the first one is avoiding stimulants. You know, when you drink stimulants, your body goes into a fight or flight mode. You get increased cortisol levels, and these increased cortisol levels can stay in your blood system elevated for up to 18 hours. So I know that's really hard for people, but you know, I just try to shift people to green juices and other things like that that are more nourishing and give you energy naturally. I know that's not a very popular one. The thing that goes along with that is really keeping your blood sugar stable. Excessive carbohydrates and skipping meals can lead to cortisol increase as well, you know, because a lot of our sleep issues does come from cortisol dysregulation, not even high cortisol, but sometimes we have low cortisol when we should have high cortisol, and sometimes we have high cortisol when we should have low cortisol. So it's a matter of just letting your body do its natural thing and not doing things to disrupt that. You know, I really promote a real food diet with healthy fats, seasonal organic vegetables, and properly sourced meats and healthy carbohydrates, and keeping your blood sugar kind of even keel throughout the day. And you know, the other thing that we already talked about, this is going to bed early. I really, really encourage people to go to bed before 10:30, especially in the colder winter months when it's really dark. Going to bed before 10:30 keeps you in rhythm with your body's natural hormone cycles. And like I said, you know, going to bed and rising at the same time every morning and every night keeps your circadian rhythm in balance. And this makes sure that, you know, when you wake up, your cortisol's up, you feel alive and awake. And when you're going to sleep, your cortisol's down, so your mind isn't racing. So I know that's really hard. It's hard for me too. You know, I struggle with this. And that's probably why I wrote the book, is to help myself as well.
Yes, I've experienced that so many times when I try to put myself to bed sort of uncharacteristically earlier than I usually do. My mind's just racing. So it makes sense now. I didn't realize that it was so much to do with how I'd sort of trained my cortisol levels, as it were, to peak and spike at certain times. So trying to put myself to bed earlier than my body's used to is going to cause that sort of that feeling of go, go, go in my mind almost. So that makes sense. All right. So what other tips do you have for us?
Another thing I really talk with people about is exercising regularly, you know, keeping our bodies moving. You know, this brings up our feel-good hormones. It helps our brain with serotonin and dopamine, and then we're feeling good and we have less anxiety and less depression. But I also really caution people not to overdo it, you know, keeping your workouts under an hour. After about the hour mark, you know, your testosterone levels begin to decline and your cortisol levels rise. So overdoing it can cause sleep issues as well.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that before. And is there a better time to exercise, like morning or evening or afternoon, or does it matter?
You know, ideally, I think it's in the morning when you have your most energy. I think exercise in the evening can kind of ramp you up a little bit because your body needs a little time to settle down. So I encourage people to get, I'm a morning exerciser. I love that. But, you know, sometimes I know that some people have to do it after work, but then I encourage more, just less exercise in the evening, not as long periods of time. So you don't get your cortisol levels up really high. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And this is a pretty unpopular thing, even with myself, is to reduce media before bed. You know, having constant stimulation throughout the day, and then we come home and we have our cell phones and our iPads and Facebook and TV, it's really affecting our sleep. You know, there's a blue light that's typically emitted by these devices, and it suppresses the production of melatonin, and that's the hormone that's necessary for good sleep. So I really encourage people 2 hours before bed to cut the media. And I'm really horrible about this, being a blogger and having a small child at home still. So I tend to get on at 7:30 when she goes to bed. And, you know, so I'm working on that. The thing I do recommend is, if you do have to be on, to get yourself some blue blocking glasses, the little amber glasses, and they block that blue light so your body can still secrete the melatonin and you can get sleepy. So do you ever use those at night?
Yeah, I've heard of those. No, I haven't used them, but my twin sister, she has, and she used to suffer extremely bad insomnia, and she started using the glasses and following some of these protocols that you're talking about, and she had tremendous success. She really started sleeping much better.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, you know, I mean, you can get them for under $10 on Amazon. They're not attractive. They're kind of goofy. Well, the idea is you put them on as the sun goes down. And then your body has that natural, you know, and same thing in the evening, keep your lights down, you know, because it's, you're wanting to tell your brain, okay, we're on the downslope here. We're trying to, like, you know, head to bed soon. You know, a couple more little tips is practicing stress relieving techniques. And that means different things for different people. You know, finding what works for you to ground and unwind, you know, whether it's deep breathing, restorative yoga, meditation, art. For you, it could be journaling, you know, whatever brings your body back to that relaxed state. You know, for me, it's just doing a little bit, 10, 15 minutes of some relaxing yoga on the floor before I get into bed. You know, forward folds really tell the brain to slow down. And for some of the people, it's just, you know, meditation, taking a long bath. So I really encourage people to find those stress relieving techniques. And, you know, the next tip goes right along with that is to just relax and enjoy life. We live in this rush, rush, go, go society where people are just doing and not a lot of time for vacations. You know, I come from a European country, Northern Europe. I'm from Finland. And my family has 5 weeks of vacation standard. And then they still take other vacations on top of that. And I kind of like that lifestyle. You know, I like to travel. And it doesn't mean you have to go fly off to Europe or Mexico, you know, but, you know, relax yourself, take a walk, go to the woods, you know, play with your children, do other things besides work. And that could go a long way in helping reduce your cortisol levels. Well, that brings us to the final tip, and that's essential oils. And of course, that's what we're here talking about today. You know, adding essential oils to your daily self-care routine can be a huge game changer in your quality of sleep, because they have therapeutic effects. They can help you affect your mood, help you relax, help de-stress. And there's also ones that are really specific to sleep. So I think essential oils is definitely in my tool bag for bettering sleep.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the best ones for people to start out trying? And what's the best way to apply it? Do you put it you know, on your feet and your body and in the diffuser, or is just the diffuser efficient?
Okay, so as far as essential oils for sleep, the best ones, you know, there's a whole list of one. And if you go actually on my website, you can Google Savory Lotus essential oils for sleep. I did do one. I think, I don't remember if it was like 9 or 10 best essential oils for sleep. There's a lot of single oils that are really good. You know, I like to just suggest the simple ones for people to start with, like lavender, cedarwood, Roman chamomile. Vetiver is my favorite. You either love
or mine too. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Yes.
And some people don't like it. Like my hubby doesn't like it. So I feel a little self-conscious putting it on because it's a very strong oil. Mm-hmm. But it's really grounding. It's good for, you know, kind of like vata wiry type people like me who are moving a lot. It's just so soothing. You know, orange. There's so many different ones. It's just a matter of finding what resonates with you and what works for you.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah. Young Living also does some really incredible blends that I really love too, like Peace and Calming and Stress Away are the two that if people are into Young Living, like try those. Those are really, really good ones to try.
It's interesting that different oils will work for different people. And when you mentioned the orange oil, at first I didn't understand how could citrus oils be good for sleep, because you think of citrus oils as being very uplifting and energizing. But I would have I had this one customer who she would write me, it was only like the third day she had bought her starter kit and she had put her diffuser on and she put Citrus Fresh, which is a Young Living blend of different citrus oils. And she mixed that with lavender, put it in her diffuser. And she wrote me, she's like, oh my gosh, that was the best night's sleep I've ever had. And I was just like, oh, really? Was Citrus Fresh? That's really interesting. So it's funny how different blends will work for different people.
Yeah, you know, citrus has a really calming effect. You know, it's really cleansing and calming. It can be invigorating as well. That's what I love about essential oils. You know, essential oils, they're not medicines. You know, they're not drugs. They help us bring our body back into balance and support our natural systems. So, you know, somebody might be wired and they need something to calm them down. The orange can help with that. It'll bring us back to balance. And then somebody may be feeling lethargic, but it's really working on getting your body back into balance. And so I love that. You know, a lot of people don't understand how essential oils really work for sleep. You know, when you inhale essential oils, they have a really small molecular structure that's able to enter into the nose and it stimulates the olfactory receptors inside the brain. And this activates the limbic system. The limbic system is kind of your seat of emotions and memories and well-being. So you're triggering this seed, and it can have a really therapeutic effect. It has a very powerful and calming effect on the body. So it's rather simple if you think about it. As far as application goes, there's so many different ways to use essential oils for sleep. The easiest way, of course, is diffusing. If you have a diffuser, just diffuse it. Not only do you get the benefits, but anybody else in the room gets the benefits. And I feel like it kind of lingers in the air. I do like to apply essential oils to the bottoms of the feet. I think that's a really great way to use your oils. I'm a big diluter. I dilute every oil that I have. I usually using coconut or olive oil, whatever I have in the kitchen. And the soles of your feet have about 2,000 pores each. So, and the pores are rather large. And so it absorbs right into the bloodstream that way. And usually the soles of your feet are tougher than anywhere else on your body. So there's not a risk for irritation or anything if you're using stronger oils. My children, everyone in my family has little personal rollers. I don't know if you've seen those little glass perfume rollers. You can create a roller with carrier oil and essential oils and rub it on your feet, your neck, you know, on your ears. I find that you don't just need to use your essential oils for sleep during time of sleep. You can use them during the day to kind of help you stay relaxed, keep your cortisol levels down. So I have a couple rollers in my bag that I carry around.
Do each of you and your family have separate blends for sleep?
Yeah, well, my hubby doesn't need one because he's one of those people that falls asleep in 5 minutes. So next lifetime for me, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, my little one, she's 4.5. And so I dilute hers a lot more. I do about 2 drops of oil in one of those perfume rollers of carrier oil because she's small. She doesn't need a lot. And I usually do her feet and I alternate. Sometimes I diffuse and sometimes I put it on her feet. I just feel like mixing it up is really good. For her, we use Peace and Calming almost every night, but sometimes I use Roman chamomile. And sometimes she just wants the lavender. She'll ask for it. So we'll do that. For myself, I do the vetiver and I don't diffuse that one because it's so thick. I just put it on the bottoms of my feet and I rub it on my earlobes. I just find that that's a good way for me to do it. Another great way is to do baths. You know, if you take baths or your children takes baths, you can take a little bit of Epsom salts and you put the oil actually directly on the Epsom salts and it helps it kind of diffuse into the water better because water and oil don't really mix. And so you just add it to the Epsom salts and you take a nice relaxing bath. And then you're getting the relaxing effects of the magnesium from the Epsom salts and the warm water and the essential oils. I think that's a wonderful way to use them. And then you're having kind of a nighttime routine and hopefully the lights are dim and there's no media going on. And so that's one, a really easy way to do it. And warm compresses. I don't do this myself, but I do know some people who take a warm washcloth and put a couple drops of oil in it and put it on their tummy or their back. And that's a really good way for the oils to absorb right into your skin.
So this is all really great advice. I want to ask you, I know you mentioned that it took about 30 days to see really significant sleep change for your daughter. Mm-hmm. And is that usually about how long it takes or how long should someone try a certain blend before they sort of move on to try something else that might work better?
You know, I think it's a really hard question. We're all such unique people. I can say that try something for 4 or 5 days and see how it works because there's so many oils and it's hard to say, you know, like I have had people say that, oh my gosh, lavender does not work for me. And some people say it really does. There's valerian, which makes me so sleepy, but some people say it gives them nightmares. You know, gives them bad dreams. Huh. So I think that it's really important. Just give it a try, 3 or 4 or 5 days. If it's not working, try something else. And then once you find a few oils that you really do like, you can start to learn to combine them and see how that works. But I'm a big fan of trying your oils separately first so you can kind of see how that feels. With my daughter, you know, it wasn't in her constitution to sleep deeply. So it took us a while of just using oils and, you know, I was diffusing and putting them on her feet using different oils. And it took me about 30 days. And then I kind of wasn't sure if we were seeing a lot of change and I stopped using the oils. And then I realized that she started sleeping less. And then, you know, it's just, you know, with parenting, it's kind of learning and trial and error.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you mentioned nightmares, I wanted to ask you, have you ever used the blend called Dreamcatcher? I haven't used it myself, but I've heard testimonies of of parents using it for children that have night terrors because they'll diffuse it at night. And apparently it's really calming and helps with that quality of sleep, which we haven't talked about too much because I know there is a difference between just the length of time you sleep and the quality of sleep. Do you want to speak to that? Or and also, have you tried that Dreamcatcher blend?
You know, I have not tried the Dreamcatcher blend, but it is on my list of blends for Young Living that I do recommend. My daughter doesn't have the nightmares, so I've never tried it, but I have had several customers who swear by that blend. So I did add it on my list, and people do really recommend that one for kind of nighttime active dreaming kind of things. And I'm really glad you talked about the quality of sleep because it really actually does matter. You know, I tell people not only how much you sleep, but when you're sleeping matters. I don't know if you've ever noticed that you will probably feel more rested if you go to bed at 10 p.m. and wake up at 6 a.m. rather than if you stay up till 2 in the morning and sleep till 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. You're still getting the same amount of sleep, right?
Right.
But the earlier hours are more conducive to that deep non-REM sleep where you're getting a lot of rest. I mean, I think there's even a proverb that says, you know, like, 2 hours before midnight is equal to 4 hours afterwards. So it's like double time is what I've, you track double time. So your hours before midnight are like considered double time hours of sleep.
I'm sure you experienced this a lot as a night shift worker, but that was really difficult.
It was beyond. Yeah.
Well, this has been such amazing advice that you've given. And I can't wait to read your book and learn even more about the science behind all this because it is so fascinating. Are there any last words of wisdom you want to leave about sleep for our listeners?
Just get sleep. You know, like whatever it is you do. I mean, you absolutely cannot be healthy without adequate sleep. I mean, maybe in the younger years, but, you know, it does catch up with you. And, you know, you're just giving yourself a gift. I know that I have to work hard at it every day to get enough sleep.
Well, Katya, before you go, we like to leave our listeners with some really practical advice by sharing with them some words of wisdom and by giving them an inside look into different people's daily health routines. So can you share with us what your daily health habits look like?
All right, daily health habits. Besides trying to get good sleep, you know, my daily health habits really revolve around getting deeply nourishing foods. I make sure that I have a really good breakfast, which includes protein, and I make sure that I prepare enough food for me to make it through the day if I'm not going to be home. And if I'm having really busy days, I make sure to have superfoods like, you know, I make sure to make a green juice in the morning for my minerals and nutrients. Bone broth is something that I'm a really big proponent on, and I take high-fat snacks with me. I try to get exercise on the daily, at some kind of movement, you know, whether it's taking a walk or taking a bar class or getting on my yoga mat, even if it's only 15 minutes, I'm taking that time not only to move my body, but also ground myself and center myself. Another daily habit I have is downtime. I absolutely have to like turn off the computer, stop working, have a little downtime just so I can find that balance in my life, you know. And for me, that means reading a book. Usually I slip into an Epsom salts bath with a book and I kind of disappear. And, you know, I just say, you know, no to the cell phone and no to everything else. And that's really important to me because, you know, having chronic health issues like I have, I'm responsible for maintaining my health. And, you know, I found that keeping myself nourished and exercising and having that downtime is non-negotiable in my feeling well.
That's fantastic. I think that's one thing that so many people are so quick to give up, especially moms. We're so quick to give up that downtime for ourselves. But, you know, everyone knows if you're not taking care of you, then you're not taking care of others as well. And it's so true. So that's fantastic. And I'm glad you've shared. And hopefully that'll give some of the people listening permission to take that downtime for themselves that is so important.
Absolutely.
And finally, what's just one thing that we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
You know, if I'd have to answer that, I would say negative thinking. You know, I really believe that my thoughts determine my day. Having a positive attitude for me is a choice. You know, I'm going to get up today. I'm deciding to be happy. And, you know, I have days, you know, especially when my Lyme disease is showing its ugly head where I don't feel very well, but I'm a really big believer in fake it till I make it. I'm going to be positive, even if I have to really reach deep. And so, you know, negative thinking, give it up. And just one of the things I learned through my yoga practice is replacing a bad habit with a positive one. So if I'm having like negative thoughts, you know, I just take a breath, I stop, and I just think a positive thought, whether it's about, you know, something I'm looking at or the food that I'm eating, just replace it with a positive thought like, oh, that apple is beautiful or that flower smells good or whatever. It sounds silly, but when you practice, you're creating new pathways in your brain. And then your brain starts to work in that new way. And I've, you know, it's a lifelong journey for me, but definitely I can feel that I'm a much more positive person after practicing this way for a long time.
I think that's great advice that I think we can't ever hear too much. So thank you.
Well, Katya, your book, Sleep Essentials, How to Use Essential Oils for Better Sleep, is just $2.99 on Amazon. We will definitely put a link for that in our show notes. Can you tell us a little bit more about that book?
Yeah, you know, Sleep Essentials is just basically my story, how I have used essential oils for sleep. There's some really great kind of fun facts about sleep in there that you might not know. And it kind of goes through the different oils, the single oils, and the kind of combined oils that Young Living puts out, and kind of tells you what they're good for. So you can kind of look at them and be like, okay, that seems like it resonates with me. And I go into detail on how to use them as well. So go ahead and check that out if you feel like you need a little better sleep. One of the most exciting things that's going on for me as far as my blog is I just put out a cookbook called The Ultimate Paleo Cookbook, which is on Amazon. And I got together with 9 of my favorite blogger friends, and we put together an Ultimate Paleo Cookbook. It's got about 900 gluten and grain-free recipes. And our goal was to make easy-to-make recipes for people who just want to live a healthier life and, you know, don't, or who are busy. So it's for moms and busy people. And there's everything in there from main dishes to sides to, like, you know, just 5 ingredient dishes and quick things and crock pots and everything. So that's been really exciting. So check that out. You can just find it in the sidebar of my blog if you go to savorylotus.com.
So Katya, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to be with us here on the Essential Oil Revolution. You shared some amazing tips, amazing knowledge. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Great. Super fun to be here. Thanks for having me.
The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. You can connect with me on Instagram at Sam Lee Wright or on Facebook at Essential Oil Revolution Podcast. Our website is revolutionoilspodcast.com. There you can find a link to our sponsors, shop our most popular items, and find more detailed show notes for every episode. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoy the show, consider sharing it with a friend or leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It helps other people find this show, and your kind words also make me cry a little, not gonna lie. You can submit up to 5 recipes a year into our DIY dugout, which makes you automatically enter to win our monthly giveaways. Simply email us your name, your original essential oil recipe, and where you're from or your website to DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. You can also send us in your episode ideas or your personal essential oil success stories. With your permission, we can share your testimonial with everyone right here on the show. Go the extra mile and consider recording your story in a video. Send it in and we can extract the audio and share it here with our listeners. Use a pair of earbuds or a microphone and tell us about how essential oils have helped you. Make sure you're subscribed to the show so you can get new episodes downloaded while you sleep. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and more. And you can also tell Alexa, "Hey Alexa, play the Essential Oil Revolution podcast," and she'll do it. Pretty cool, huh? I can't thank you enough for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the revolution. We'll catch you here next week. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.